Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, here we go. It's time for the Friday edition of the Daily 10, and we got stuff to talk about, including the Major League Baseball trade deadline approaching, the NBA draft behind us, all kinds of big splashy news breaking around sports over the last 12 to 24 hours. We'll get to all of it in a moment, but let me remind you first, we're brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. Folks, this is not your pappy sports bar. No, this is the ultimate sports bar experience, and you'll notice that before you even walk through the doors. I am talking about a window right there on the street that you'll see at the Daily Draft, downtown Woodstock on Main Street. You can order drinks right there, where you can just walk around downtown and enjoy the fun. Or when you walk through the doors, you'll see the wall-to-wall flat screens. You'll check out the craft beer bar. You'll see the the pool tables, the darts, all the fun that you can have, an incredible chef-inspired menu where they will take 10% off your lunch order when you mention the Daily 10 podcast. Going for lunch today or this weekend or next week, mention the Daily 10. They'll take 10% off your lunch order at the Daily Draft. Go to thedailydraft.net, check out the menu, all the great events they have, and more at the Daily Draft. Okay, let's get to the business of the day. The Braves get back in action tonight at home against Milwaukee at 7:20 at Truist Park. Will they have a new member or two of the baseball team? That is the question with the Major League Baseball trade deadline coming at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Now, here's what we do know. It's Tukey time tonight. Tukey Toussaint will get the ball for the Braves against Corbin Burns. Tukey's been really good in his first two starts since coming off the IL. He's combined for 13 and two-thirds innings. He struck out 15 and walked only two in those two starts. Now, stop me if you've heard this one before. The Braves are once again trying to get to 500. They're trying to win two games in a row for the first time since the All-Star break, and they're trying to take some momentum off a series victory in New York where they took 3 of 5 from the Mets. The 6-3 win yesterday was, again, the continuation of the roller coaster offensively. One game, it's one or two runs. The next game, it could be 6 or 7. You just don't know. So the Braves did win that series. It's a little frustrating in the fact that they probably could have won 4 of 5. If you want to get greedy and think if they found one,
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox.
Maybe they would have swept a 5-game series. But sensibly, you tell yourself that's not real because there are that many holes in this lineup that they're going to lose their share of 2-1, 1-0 type of games on nights when you just don't get something from any number of guys like Orlando Arcia or Abraham Almonte or Guillermo Heredia or any of the catchers, be it Kevin Smith or Stephen Vogt. That's just what it is. The good news for the Braves bats, Austin Riley had another big game yesterday. He was red hot in that series against the Mets. He finished with a 2-for-4 game yesterday, another home run, 3 RBIs. So in the series, Austin had 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, and on the year, he's now up to 21 home runs and 60 runs batted in. One more good note from yesterday, the bullpen held things down after Drew Smyly left without recording an out in the 5th inning. The bullpen pitched 5 scoreless innings. I thought the guy that really jumped off the page yesterday was Tyler Matzek. When his stuff is moving the way it was to go along with 97, he's just nasty. So he gave you 2 innings yesterday. Braves won the series. They went 5-4 on the road trip, and we'll see if they add anything at the deadline. Now, we know so far the big moves have come from the Dodgers and the Yankees. The Yankees, during the last 24 hours, they added some key left-handed power with Joey Gallo from the Rangers and then Anthony Rizzo from the Cubs, which both those moves are nice. Well, the Dodgers said, yeah, here, hold our trade beer because we're going to come in and go make a move for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. It's like it's a fantasy baseball team out in LA where the Dodgers payroll is now 200 and $75 million with the additions of Scherzer and Trey Turner, who, oh, by the way, will be up for a contract extension. And there's the reason the Nats traded him, because they offered what they thought were significant dollars and Trey Turner wasn't open to it. There are 30 Major League Baseball GM jobs, but man, they are not created equally. When you're the GM of the Dodgers or the GM of the Mets or the GM of the Yankees, it's very different than, say, being the GM of the Braves. Alex Anthopoulos, as he tries to work some things before the trade deadline today, has to be cognizant of every dollar, every cent, every prospect, every part of his organization, because with the Braves funds the way they are, Alex has very little room for error. When the Braves make a mistake or one of their players gets in trouble and can't play, see Marcell Ozuna, they don't have a plan B to throw money at it to cover up the mistake. When you're Andrew Friedman, who's the GM of the Dodgers, here's Max Scherzer, here's Trey Turner, take a flyer on Albert Pujols, go get Mookie Betts, whatever it is. Late in your career, guys, in their prime, they can go get whatever. And this has to be what Alex sees. Andrew Friedman was the former GM of the Tampa Bay Rays. So he used to live that life of, I got to watch every penny. I got to be careful with every trade. We don't have a plan B if it doesn't work. Now Friedman has an open wallet, an open checkbook, and he can spend whatever he wants. And you saw that again yesterday. Now, the Yankees don't spend to the Dodgers degree, but they still spend a good chunk of change. And Brian Cashman showed that with the moves that he made yesterday, whether it's rentals, guys with another year or two on their deal, or, you know, extension eligible guys, they'll still make those type of deals. For the Braves today, I wouldn't get your hopes up on too much happening at the deadline. Number one, this is going to look more like 2018's trade deadline, more so than 2019. What I mean by that is, think back to 2018. The Braves were ahead of schedule. They were in the race, in fact, leading the NL East. But it was additions like Johnny Venters and Brad Brock. They took a flyer on Kevin Gausman, and in that same deal picked up Darren O'Day, who was injured, didn't pitch the rest of the way. They also took a flyer on Adam Duvall, who didn't give you anything in 2018. In fact, was sent back to AAA. 2019 was very different. 2019, the Braves went full bullpen makeover. They thought they're another year advanced. We like our team. We can make a deeper run. So they added Mark Melancon and his big salary, Chris Martin, Shane Green. They essentially went out and got every closer on the market to fix their bullpen. It's not going to look like that today. So if your visions are of Chris Bryant, or your visions are of, you know, what the Dodgers or Yankees just did, get that out of your head. You're going to be living more in the world of David Peralta, Max Kepler, Robbie Grossman, maybe Andrew Benintendi or Jorge Soler. Like, those are the moves. If they make a move at all, it's going to be a, you know, low money move, take a chance on a guy. Maybe he's not having a great year. We'll see if we can plug and play. If you're looking at the bullpen, the visions of Craig Kimbrel are not realistic at all. That's not happening. The Braves are living in the world of Pirates reliever Richard Rodriguez or Joakim Soria or, you know, Taylor Rogers, names that are probably good to add to the bullpen but are not going to get you all excited. There was one more piece of news yesterday, and I don't know what it means, short-term or long-term, but Marcell Ozuna's original felony charge was reduced to a misdemeanor. He'll have a court date for a plea agreement August 9th. I saw where Amy Dash, she's the legal analyst for CBS Sports, tweeted, Ozuna's alleged assault and battery of his wife was caught on police body cams. That means Major League Baseball will get a copy once the case is resolved, and they're going to have to take some kind of an action, as she writes, unless it wants a Ray Rice-style situation. So there's still a lot of both legal hurdles and from Major League Baseball before we know anything about the future of Marcell Ozuna. All right, let's shift gears. NBA draft last night, and the Hawks stayed put with picks number 20 and picks number 48, but they got some good value. They did very well in the value department. The Hawks took Duke freshman Jalen Johnson at number 20. He's a 6'9", 220-pound forward who was thought to be a top-five talent when he got to Duke a year ago, but he only played 13 games there, dealt with a foot injury. He opted out in February. He's moved around, both in high schools and then, again, at Duke. It just wasn't a big body of work. But he's a good finisher, playmaker offensively, a big-time athlete. Defensively, he's got shot-blocking ability, rebounding ability. He's capable of playing multiple positions, although it seems likely he would probably settle in at the power forward. His shot needs work. He struggles in the half court. Anybody who plays with Trae Young will benefit, so you would imagine Jalen Johnson would benefit as well. I wouldn't expect Johnson to play much early, which is good considering the Hawks are not at a point where they have to lean on rookies for heavy minutes. He's so young. He's very raw. He'll probably spend time in the G League at College Park to hone his skills. And again, that's a good thing. By the way, if you're looking at a couple of games, and again, it's a very small sample, Jalen Johnson's first game in college, 19 points, 19 boards. His biggest game as a member of Duke happened in the ACC against Pitt. Scored 24 points at 16 boards to go with 7 assists, 4 blocks, and 2 steals. So, again, this is a lottery-type talent who at number 20 is just a big value play, even if it doesn't work, and he just becomes, quote, a rotation-type player. The other pick, and this was surprising to me, in the second round at number 48, the Hawks got Sharif Cooper from Auburn, the point guard, who there was some discussion about the Hawks looking at him at number 20. He's a local product from McEachern, 6'1", 180 pounds, really good handle, good passer. Picture Trae Young without the shot. And I, you know, like, that's a heavy comp, but, you know, Trae gives you the three-point ability, the floater, the scoring. Cooper was really bad shooting the basketball at Auburn. I think he was 23% from three. Defensively, he's not going to give you much at all, much like Trae. But at 48, so what? It's a no-brainer pick with nothing to lose. I saw this number. Only two college freshmen have averaged more than 20 points per game and more than 8 assists per game. Do you know who they are? Trae Young and Sharif Cooper. So you take a shot at 48 on a kid that, it's a lottery ticket. What do you have to lose? He'll play a lot in the G League. He won't play much at all in the regular season, especially early, nor would you expect him to, considering the depth of the Hawks roster. But if he can develop, and, you know, being around a guy like Trae, learning the floater game, the tricks of the trade, being an undersized guy, having to work the way Trae does, I love the pick at 48. It makes a ton of sense, but again, even if it doesn't work, it's pick 48. I thought a good job by Travis Schlenk getting the most value that he could find at those two spots. All right, if you guys would, hit the subscribe button, or you can follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite podcasts. Leave us a rating, a review. We would appreciate that. And if you would, go see our friends, great local sports bar, The Daily Draft, downtown Woodstock on Main Street this weekend. Have lunch over there. Mention the Daily 10 podcast. They'll take 10% off your lunch order. I'll be on the radio in Atlanta this afternoon, and we're back again Monday for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.